stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes, and tell me if you take my place. Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to episode number 158 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thanks for giving us a bit more of your attention this coming episode. Looking forward to chatting all things running. Got some running news to get through. A few 5K best boosts. We're going loose. Listen to question. Thanks to patrons. All that stuff we do every other week. Really appreciate you giving us your ears for the next hour and a bit. Welcome to my co-host up in Canberra. Got absolutely destroyed in the Fashions on the Field competition last Thursday, I think it was. And disappointingly come second last, I think. Brad, welcome to this week's podcast.
Thanks, mate. Not sure what position I came, but I wasn't top three.
I was really looking forward to you winning this thing, bringing a bit of content, bringing the Lexus, everyone getting around you, and then bam, nothing happened.
Let's be honest, though. There's no way a guy like me should be winning a national fashions competition. Like,
I had you eight, for sure.
Eighth. Now, wasn't there only like seven? Didn't Tassie not have a representative?
No, yeah, oh. Seven, yeah. I was hoping, though, that I would have at least beaten the South Australian. Viv got me over the top of the South Australian and maybe the guy from WA as well. But, like, to show, like, how me and fashion don't go together, when they did the live Zoom cross, I had to get dressed up in my suit, but I was wearing UGG boots because obviously no one could see my feet, so... That's where I'm more comfortable with.
I don't know about this Moose, because if he won it, he would have said, he is interested in fashion, enjoys dressing up now and then. And now he's like, oh, I'm too cool for fashion. I wouldn't have wanted to win it anyway, kind of thing.
I'm not fashionable. It's all good.
This has been a real hard effort by me. I've put a lot of time into educating myself, but nah.
You watched it too, didn't you? Welcome to this week's show, by the way, 2:14, man. Joining us from Anglesey this week, not Phillip Island.
Anglesey, yeah, I did watch it. Quite sad, actually. The electrician was in here putting an oven in, and I was watching it, and I could just tell it was just like, what the fuck is this called? Showing interest in this shit.
Yeah, well, Craig, it's always next year, but how are you going, Moose, down there?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. Pretty warm today.
It was warm. Yeah, it was like 30 up here. How hot did you get?
Oh, no, not that hot.
Not that hot?
Maybe 25 or something. 25. 20, yeah.
We'll talk about a bit of heat later on when we go to our snake chat segment. We're talking about a bit of that. Thanks to Brett Coleman for writing in some details there. Tell us about your week, Moose. I'm cracking the sticks. Thanks to Sticks for the beers. Looking forward to hearing what you've been doing Monday through to Sunday.
Yeah, so on Monday I was at Phillip Island, actually. So I didn't really know where to run. So as you do, you get on the Strava and have a look around for an explore. Look for any sort of on the map green areas that might be forests or reserves or whatever. So we found this sort of reserve, I guess. It's about 4.5K round. So I ran that with Bree. It's pretty nice in there, but yeah, it was snaky. I think that's where the chat last time came from, that run. Body felt good, so just 8K in the sun. The next morning, I did a workout down in Kilcunda. So it's actually North Phillip Island. You go back over the bridge, and then you drive probably another 10 minutes. So you get to this smaller town, Kilcunda, that's on the ocean. on the coast, and there's a few trails there. One of them's the rail trail, and then there's one called a Bass Coast Trail, and it's like snakes along the cliffs and everything. It's a pretty cool track as well. But did this workout on the rail trail. It was pretty warm. This was the hot day, so this is the first workout I've done kind of proper hot. I had a humid one a few weeks ago, but this was like, and when I say proper hot, it was only probably 23-24 degrees, but full sun, full wind too. This place gets super windy. So 3K warm up, already feeling pretty hot in the warm up. Then I did three sets of 3 minute, 2 minute, 1 minute. So 3 minutes kind of, I didn't really have a full plan, but the 3 minutes was going to be kind of steady. 2 minutes would be a little faster, maybe like half 10K, 5K efforts. That's what I would go for, with 1 minute rest between, and the rest between was jogging. So headed out on the rail trail, which is, turns out the actual rail trail is quite downhill on the way out. So headed down, didn't really notice too much. And just as one main hill, but first rep, 3 minutes, actually felt like my legs couldn't really go much quicker, but my heart was all right. So ran 3:04 pace, 153 beats, and then a jog at 4:28, and then the next 2 minute with a 3 minute pace, and then that was a fair downhill. So the float was a little faster at 4:14, and then the next was 2:56. So definitely my best rep or my best set here. Then worked out that maybe I might be in a bit of trouble because I've got two more sets, and I've just worked out that I went downhill. So the jog was at 5:11 pace, so pretty slow. This is where I sort of changed the workout. No, I didn't change the workout, but I made an adjustment to make my recovery super easy. The next 3 minute was at 3:10s, and then 3:07s for the 2 minute. I turned around at this point, so I'd started to go back uphill, and I started to get a bit warm too. Heart rate was not going down in the recoveries really. So I ran 3:22s for the next minute, which was actually a mistake. In my head, I thought I was on a 3 minute rep, but I worked out that I wasn't at about a minute in. So I quickly stopped to hit the lap button.
A sign that you'd cooked yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. At that point, I'm like, oh, my head's not working real well. And then, yeah, just couldn't get my heart rate down. So the next rep, the 2 minute rep, was 3:23s. And yeah, I went up a bit, but my heart rate was like only two beats less, even though I dropped my pace by a minute 10 in the next minute. So it just wouldn't go down. And then 3:10s for the 2 minutes after that, and then 3:09s for the last minute. So yeah, it was not too bad, but I just didn't really care that much about the paces. I just need to start pacing my workouts a bit better, where I'm finishing stronger at the end. So there was 7.6K 3:34s. That was the workout. So not too bad. Cooled down with Bree afterwards. So she did her monofartlek. She got a bit cooked as well.
How far did she get in the monofartlek? Give us some numbers.
Well, she didn't make it back to the start. I don't have it in front of me, but she didn't make it back to her start position, which is the sign you're going pretty good if you do a monofartlek. If you turn around at the 10-minute mark, which is after the second 60-second jog, and you hit the start point, that's how I like to do monos.
You're saying if you make it back to the start point, you're going well.
Yeah.
Because it's harder, because you got those 90 seconds at the start of monofartlek, like you can just eat up ground and you can just float so much better, whereas the 15 on and off and the end of the 30 on and off in that last 5 minutes, it's hard to get any rhythm and you're cooked.
It is. I think it's a good result if you're getting back. It's also a good workout to do in a group. If everyone goes off at the same time and turns at 10 minutes, then if you've got, say, 10 people, everyone turns at a different point, you can start to chew people, or you can yeah, you like catch them, and then some people might catch you, and then if everyone's finishing around the same spot, it's a good one if you're in a group.
Yeah, it's a we used to do that race. We used to do that in Sydney when we used to do like a 2x10 minute session. We'd say 3 minutes recovery, so you'd run your 10 minutes out, and wherever you got to, that's where you'd start your next rep. And so the quick guys were always trying to run down the slower guys on the way back. It was good fun.
The only trap with that in the fartlek, though, because I used to do it back in the day, is when you come and trying to catch people, you just stop floating and just keep the foot down the whole way back. That's a bit of a – people just get a bit ahead of themselves.
That's pretty common, actually.
Turns into a 10-minute time trial on the way back. You just don't change pace and you just keep it, like, keep the foot down, just pulling people in.
That happens in most groups, I reckon. Wednesday, I'd map this. I got a map from a mate, Chris, and who comes down here a fair bit, and he said, this is a really good loop. It's like 16K. And I mapped it out. I'm like, oh, 16's too much. It's actually closer to 17. I made a new map, right, off the one that he's done, that where it was only about 11K, maybe 12K max. And I thought, we'll run this instead. So I showed Bree on this map I've got called Map Out. And then Bree looked at it on Google Maps as well. And she's like, yeah, that all looks okay. And then as we run along the rail trail, I knew at a certain point there was a turn right called Slatter Mission Road. And then, or was it called something else? It's called...
No, that's what it says.
No, but it's actually called Statter Mission.
Oh,
but
yeah, gotcha.
Regardless, I was running along, and at the point where I thought there was a road that came up from the left that ended at the rail trail, and there was no road on the right. I thought, oh, I've got a feeling that this was about the right point, but there is no way this is a road, and why would a mapping app ever have this as a road heading off into the farmland on the right? And so we just kept jogging, and I'm like, Brie, I think we've missed this. But she said, there's nowhere to turn. We couldn't have missed it. So kept on running. And then at some point, I kind of realized we were on the 17K loop now. We've sort of committed to it, and it involved a decent hill as well. So went up this big hill called Woolamai Road and turned right. So went over the mountain, basically. It's a solid mountain. And so the run ended up being 18 kilometres when it was supposed to be like 11 or 12, which was a fair bit, as well as going up a solid hill. I was out there for, what, an hour 25? And it was supposed to be about 50 minutes. So lucky I didn't get any injuries from it. We got a good tour of Kilcunda, but... I can imagine if you took out a group of people and you fucked it that bad, there would be some real angry cats amongst the group.
Was Bree annoyed?
She wasn't. She actually was a bit of a soldier on that one. going up the hill, there weren't many smiles. But on the other side, it was okay. Kilcunda is a really nice place, though, actually. I like it there. You could get some good running in around Kilcunda.
I see you've got a bit of merch here for the Surf Coast Track Club.
You got the pics?
Is Bree just the model? You've got like, yeah, all that. It looks like she's lining up for a prison shootout, you know, when they're just against the wall.
Yeah, I said don't.
Don't like, smile.
you got to do the same face for both pics. That's a good logo though, right? You like the logo?
Yeah, Joel Tobin White did a brilliant job there, I reckon.
Yeah, it looks good on the tops. Hoodie looks amazing. And the t-shirt, the logo just needs to be a little bit bigger, but we'll sort that for the next batch. We're actually going to put these on for sale. We've got a few left over, so head over to the Instagram Surf Coast Track Club and wait for the announcement.
Surely no one's buying those, are they?
Are you kidding?
Is anyone going to buy those?
Nah. He thinks he's MTC.
He does, doesn't he? They'll have the hats any minute now. Nick Bedeau would sell a whole stack of those. You should get him to sell those, Moose.
No, Surf Coast Track Club.
Would you buy an MTC hat, Moose?
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
No. Surf Coast Track Club, better logo.
You'd buy one and you'd put it up in the shop on the top row in the bookshelf, I reckon, next to Collis's shoes or whatever.
That's where Woody's going.
Yeah.
It's where the hoodie's going.
You need to do something first in the Surf Coast. You can't just start a club, make merch, and expect people to like buy it straight away. Someone's got to win a race in one of your singlets or something.
What do you mean? Why?
You just haven't done anything yet. You've created the club. Now you've got to go back it up and get some good results on the board. You don't say footy clubs just start and then go, hey, who wants to buy our merch? You've got to go win a few premierships or something. Get a following.
Yeah, yeah, we'll win this series that we're going to put on.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, people can wear a cool logo if they want.
Call it Joel Tobin White.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. I think people will be stoked with it. We got actually a lot of requests for this merch. Anyway, where was I at? Making my week go longer. Had a run when we got home. Good to be back in town. Next day, that was 10K. Next day, did a workout on the Friday evening at Vic Park. The workout was like a yo-yo, 7 minutes at thresh heart rate, 7 minutes, five beats less than that. So I've done these before. The interesting thing with this is my heart rate's a lot lower in the evening, so I kind of got to see where I'm at on that first rep as to where I stay at, and I sort of base that off feel. Feel relative to the heart rate. So if it's in the morning, I reckon my threshold's higher, and in the afternoon, my threshold heart rate's actually lower. So I went, first rep was all feel because the heart rate actually didn't get up that high. So the average was 157 and I ran 311s. Then I floated in 327, 163 heart rate. Then the next one was about right, 309s for 172 heart rate. And then the last one was sort of uphill to the car, 333s, and I dropped down to 169 heart rate. So, yeah, that's a good session. For me, anyway, it's one of the better ones I've had since coming back. Mona actually was out for a bike ride and saw me getting along, so he joined in and rode with me for the workout, which was good. Nice to have someone out there. What was the average pace? 8.43, 3.19s. And then, yeah, the next morning went out for a jog. Felt really good, actually, this Saturday morning. Just cruised before work, just real slow. Took it easy. And then Sunday morning, Surf Coast Track Club, actually, big group down the coast. Went out to Paraparap, which is like, I've talked about it before. Anyway, did 24K and 4.16s. The pelvis flared a little bit during this run, so it was pretty uncomfortable, actually, for most of the run, which made it a little bit shit because it was such a good vibe, a lot of people there. But, yeah, you know, when you've got that thing that's like that one thing sort of playing on your mind the whole time, you can't really enjoy things, yeah. But
who pushes the pace on? Like, the heart rate was 144 yesterday. Like, is like probably still a bit higher than you'd like on a long run? Is there anybody sort of pushing the pace?
Not really. It's just like the group's pace. I guess like I would probably be guilty of maybe being towards the front, but it's a morning thing. If I ran this in the evening, I reckon it would be like 140. Mm-hmm. But and I'm okay with that because I don't do I work out Friday and I work out Tuesday. So Sundays I've got a bit more of a license for a slightly higher heart rate. Yeah,
yeah. It's but not like the pace is anything crazy.
No,
like that's
no,
what I do
it's not
every
really.
Long run at.
Yeah, Bree actually ran four. She ran like a marathon pace, 21. She joined the group. She got an iron infusion the other week, so she's back. So what did we end up? I ended up on 96K, actually.
Do you have that written down on a piece of paper? Are you flicking through a training diary or something? Is that you?
I've been writing it down.
Do you diary kind of stuff?
Way.
That
is
good.
Way.
You can write stuff there you wouldn't write on Strava.
Exactly. Yeah, you can sort of follow your trends a bit better. And I've never done it before, but I'm enjoying it. I actually look forward to it.
Mm. Very good. What's coming up? Anything coming up or still just keep stringing the weeks together? No time
December
trials
19,
or anything?
Yeah, December 19th, so still a while away now. But we'll be doing something in Geelong. There'll be a few doing 5Ks, a few doing 10Ks. Surf Coast Track Club event. So get along, buy your merch.
Buy your merch for entry.
Yeah. No, it'll be fun. There'll be a few doing 10K. I don't know. You reckon I could get 30 minutes after? You reckon I could beat your time at Sydney?
5 weeks? What shoes are you going to wear?
Oh, shit.
I reckon you can in next percent or, yeah.
No.
Not in spikes, though. You couldn't,
you
I think.
You're kidding me. Those dragonflies are in Did you hear the Danny Orr interview?
Just, yeah. You just got to go do it. You're talking about a shoe you haven't worn yet. I've been training in it, ran 25 laps. And actually, Nitta's got me. He reckons I can do a few modifications to it to make it real good.
The what? Dragon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Heel raises in.
Yeah. Been sliding in my DMs. Go and put these in, mate. You'll be back in 29-30 shape before you know it, he said.
Reckon they'll be illegal then.
Is it?
They'll be over the rule.
Going to put, like 20 mil heel raises in there.
Yeah. Just stick them to your sock so they're not actually part of the shoe.
Just tape them to the bottom of your foot, then put your sock on. They don't check what's in your sock, do they?
That's right. Yeah, especially inside your sock. Just put on your actual skin.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. One day run, 30-14. Here we go. What have you got? 6 weeks.
Hey, 30-14, that's like a tempo.
It's like your PB. You've only run quicker than that once, haven't you?
That is a tempo run.
We'll see what happens on the 19th of December.
Jeez. This has been a disappointing year for you, this unfortunately.
What do you mean? I ran heaps of good time trials. Races.
Moose is saying like 30 minutes tempo for him, where he cooked himself running a 3 minute rep at 304s last Tuesday. Downhill.
I got 5 weeks, boys. 5 weeks.
It's more than that, isn't it? It's only the ninth today. I reckon you got 6 weeks.
Yeah, maybe six even. Oh, yeah, six.
Yeah. You'll need every day of it too, I reckon.
Need to drop some kegs.
What are you weighing in at?
So, 72 and a half at the moment.
What do you want to get to?
67 and a half would be good.
Jeez. Oh, it's summer. You sweat more.
Yeah, I sweat more. It's a constant state of dehydration. Also drink more beers in summer. I've been working on that. One drink a day so far.
One a day. And how many on weekends?
No, one a day, except if there's a special occasion.
Would you just go, have the midweek off and then save them for Friday, Saturday night?
The midweek gets me through weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Brad, what have you been doing?
All right. Well, nothing Monday. I had the day off. Just worked and then went, I'll just go home. Tuesday morning, went and did some weights. And then that afternoon did weights in the morning, and then Melbourne Cup was on. So Viv and I basically just kicked back, put a few bets on the races. It was pretty warm, actually. And I went out that afternoon, ran from home down to the synthetic oval, did a few laps there and then back. And the heat zapped me, and then the hill on the way back. Like, I was running way too quick for where my fitness levels were, but I did 10.5K at 4:06. Then Wednesday, 35K on the bike in the gym, so it was just over an hour. Then Thursday morning, went back to the gym and did weights, and actually one of the Canberra Raiders was in there, so that was a bit of a highlight. See a Soliola for those playing at home.
Do you ask for an autograph?
No, I'm not one of those guys. Like, bloody, I don't know. Don't go and hassle them. So,
did he recognise you?
No. I did actually. He's one Raider that I did see out at Stromlo Cross Country Course during pre-season 1 year, and it was bloody impressive because he's a forward and he was smacking up all of the backs in like the 1K reps, which I thought was pretty impressive. So anyway, that was Thursday morning. Thursday afternoon, out to Mulligan's, did 45 minutes at 4:11. Then Friday, Wednesday was the bike, Thursday was weights, and then gym. Oh, sorry, weights, and then 45 minutes out at Mulligan's at 4:11. Saturday, I went back out to Mulligan's and did 45 minutes, 4:11. And then Sunday, I went to the gym and ran on the treadmill for 90 minutes. It was actually really enjoyable. I got to about 40 minutes and felt like I'd sort of found my groove, found my rhythm. Could have kept running for another hour, I reckon. I was enjoying it that much. Heart rate, average 130 sixes for heart rate, and basically didn't run any faster than 4.7. So I was pretty much running between 4.26k on the treadmill and 4.17s. So according to the treadmill, it was 20.5k. So about 52k for the week, which is my biggest running week since probably mid-September. So that was my week.
Good work. And honestly, like a bit of disappointment after the Fashions on the Field result on Thursday?
No.
Like, are you looking forward to it and stuff? Would have been a bit of an anti-climax?
Oh, not really. Look, I don't get... like, to win would be an absolute bonus. I didn't expect to win a car.
What about Viv? Sure. Was Viv happy?
Start
throwing chairs or anything?
No, she wasn't throwing chairs. No. And that's... the whole fashion thing's one thing that ever since Viv's been into it, any time that she never won something and she'd go, oh, I thought, you know, this person was maybe should have won or I should have won. I'm like, hang on a second. Like, this is fashions. It's subjective. Can't whinge about it. You know, if you you just go and do something like running where it's, you know, it's pretty much, there's no appealing who crosses the line first. Like, you know, it's very rare that happens. So that's what I've always loved about running, and fashions is just luck of the draw in a way.
Brings it back to running. Good analogy.
True. Like,
yeah. What you put in, you get out.
I hate the subjective stuff. Yeah. Like,
oh, and two Northern Territory winners. I reckon that was a bit controversial as well. I think there's something going on there.
I thought there was better states from the women's in, but anyway, yeah. So maybe it was
Didn't like purple.
I don't know.
I missed the women's. I was at the supermarket. You were giving me updates.
I thought there was better outfits, but that's the whole thing. Like, what one person likes, other people hate. Like, some people hated the fact that guys don't wear socks with their shoes, and if they were judging, they would never award it to a guy that's wearing that doesn't have socks on. So you never know what the judges are after.
Sherlon Garbo, the guy who won, had a face mask on. Do you ever think about doing that, a face shield?
Nah, when I first saw it, I'm like, surely that guy's not going to win. So, we still ended up with a couple of $1,000 in my vouchers. And I actually entered another Fashions on the Field competition on Tuesday, a local one here in Canberra, which was digital as well. And I ended up runner-up in that one. So I got a $100 pub voucher and a $50 Canberra Centre voucher. So that was the positives out of the Fashions for the week.
Good work. Go through my week, eh?
Yeah.
I was just looking back on the Sunday before this week kicked off. So last week I was in all sorts, but come good on the Sunday. I think on my Strava I had notes like, I've come good, it's all good, everything's going to be good this week. Monday, woke up a bit hungover actually, only did 31 minutes 7K in the afternoon, 4:30 pace, but I thought that's all good, I'll chase some Ks later on in the week to make up for that. Tuesday, Melbourne Cup day, met up with Glenn and Archie. Warmed up, feeling good, like maybe like 4:15s, and I'm like, right, I'm back here. Our session was a progressive 7K, so we're meant to do 2K at 3:08, 2K at 3:04, 2K at 3:02, and then the last K in 2:58. And we were just a bit all over the place, like just a bit, like banked a bit of time early and then slowed a bit, and then, like, we got there in the end with the fast finish K, but just opening my splits now, it didn't quite pan out the way you had on paper, Moose. 3:04, 3:09, 3:05, 3:03, 3:06, 3:07, 2:55.
Very, very progressive.
Yeah. Hey, just the last K was. Did you kick it down? Yes. What was that?
Just smack out the last one.
Archie, he kind of had come off the week off. So I led the first K, and then he went around me to lead the second K. And he was running off like average time on his watch for the whole workout. And I just had the lap time on. So after my watch had beeped at like, I don't know, 3:06 that first K, then it was his turn to lead. And he just like ran the first probably 90 seconds at like 3:15K pace. And I thought he was just struggling a bit because he had that week off. So I kind of went past him and said, hey, just jump in and hang on for as long as you can. And then he just jumped in the whole way and then nearly went past me with about 400 metres to go. But I thought, nah, you've been sitting on me the whole workout. I've got to finish this one home and kick it home strong. And then afterwards, he's like, why'd you go past me? We're running like 3:09 pace. And I'm like, nah, that was your whole average after I banked a bit of time early. And he's like, So a few watch dramas there, bit of confusion, and ended up stitching me up to lead the whole workout. Haven't done a workout like that in a while. Anyway, felt good there. All up, it was 7K at 3:04 with a good finish. Felt like I was back rolling pretty good. Melbourne Cup, few beers in the afternoon, and got into that platter from the Moama Bowling Club. And what about my horse? Told you last week, boys, that horse would win. $31 it was paying. Bang, got up, was pretty happy.
How much do you have on it?
Nah, not enough. Nowhere near enough.
$2.
What about all these listeners on Patreon sending in their screenshots how they're winning like $500 and stuff? I'm just like, nah, I have $5 each way. I turned $10 into $150. But I was a bit disappointed that I didn't have more on it. It's always the way we gamble, isn't it?
It definitely paid to be a patron last week because the show obviously wasn't live for everybody by the time Melbourne Cup was run.
Yeah, people hit me up like, what do you reckon Derby Day, Brady? And I'm like, guys, I pretty much just winged that last tip. Once you're ahead, get out and then never bet again. Tuesday afternoon. So I rolled along at 7K at 4:30, which I was like, okay, this is good. It shows I've recovered from the morning. But then the next morning I woke up, right hamstring just under the glute, really kind of sore and tender. And like, you guys know when you're tired, you kind of might be a bit limpy and a bit like stiff those first like 200 or 300 meters, but then you get into a bit of a groove. I was like limping the whole way. It felt like I was almost dragging my leg. Just did 45 minutes at 4:43s in the afternoon, got out for 7K at 4:33s, which I thought was all right. Thursday morning, got out for 7K with the pram, 4:32s. And I was like, okay, I'm feeling better again after that like really, really recovery day. Got out for 10K in the afternoon at 4:32s. And then Friday it was, I had my second session of the week. So we did this in the afternoon. I'd done 7K in the morning at 4:30s and was feeling good. Met up with Glenn. We did 5 300s. 4 400s, 5 200s on the grass track. So I spiked up. Those spikes, those dragonflies are actually good on the grass. I enjoy them on the grass. They feel good. We did the 300s in, you had written 46 to 47, but we always add a second with the grass track just because it's no good. So instead of chasing like super fast times, we just add a second there. It's called the Jack Eddy tax, if you're wondering. You guys probably wouldn't know Surf Coast Track Club, just probably on a nice synthetic track down there, no holes and stuff in that thing. 47, 49, 47, 47 for the 300s off 100 walk. Then we jogged a lap. Then we went 66, 64, 66, 63 for the 400s. And then 30, 30, 29, 30, 30 for the 200s. Don't I just say 200s? 400s. You get the picture.
200s, yeah.
It was a good speed session anyway on that track. Warmed down all right, but then Saturday morning, same as kind of how I woke up Wednesday morning after the 7K progressive. It was just in all sorts again, like 4:43s, couldn't, like really limpy on my right side. Not like sharp pain, but just feels like you're getting no kind of movement from my right hamstring pretty high up. So I just hit the anti-inflames after that, booked in to see the physio Monday, kind of spoke to Moose about what the plan might be, what to do. I think you piped in as well, Brad, you were telling me about Voltaren or something, which was good to have a few people talk to about it. Woke up Sunday, met up with Glenn and Archie, just did 90 minutes, but like 24 hours on, that pain goes from like a 5 out of 10 kind of discomfort to like a 1 or 2 out of 10. It really does settle after that extra kind of 24 hours. Could have done 2 hours, did 90 minutes, 4:27s, we was talking. Got it done over in Echuca. It's actually funny, we went to the juice bar afterwards, Brad, and the guy that owns that, or the guy that owns a burger place next door, Archie's dad, he was wondering how you went in the Fashions on the Field competition, which I thought was pretty good. I'm just sitting there enjoying a smoothie, and then this guy comes out going, how'd Croak's going, the Fashions on the Field? And I'm thinking, geez, I wasn't expecting to get questions like that after my long run on a Sunday. Anyway, then we signed him up for Patreon, so it was a good get out of it. 112K for the week. It looks all right on paper. Two good sessions and nearly a long run, but everything in between was terrible and not enjoyable and niggle turning into an injury, which I'm addressing this week. So I went to physio today and got a couple of maybe explanations for it. Got a lot of hammy strength stuff to do. And just going to back off no workouts for the next week and just see how it responds, which I think is the issue, that it's not responding to, like the intensity is getting it. That's my story, yeah. Boys.
Well, that's a hamstring thing though, isn't it? Is that what the physio said? Like that explosive stuff, that greater range of motion?
Yeah, pretty much. He gave me three situations, like, and we were talking about this off air, so I'll whiz through it a bit quicker here, but he kind of said it could be because you've got a tight back and then it's showing up in the hamstring, which could be that's a valid explanation because I've been whinging about my back being sore. And then he also said, and then he kind of, they're good, the physios, how they get to know your story and stuff. So then he asked, like, have I changed anything in training lately? And I kind of said, we've been working on more of like top end speed stuff where I've been getting on my toes and getting in spikes and things like that. And then he kind of explained it that when you're always training at a high level and doing a lot of cage, your muscles are already under stress and under a decent load. And then you're stressing them with that intensity more as well. So he said that could be an option, and he did throw the sacrum stress fracture option up there, but he reckons it's probably a bit too low, like it's not really showing that high up that it could be a stress in my back pelvic bone or whatever.
This like, you've been doing high intense workouts your whole life though, like used to be three times a week, now it's twice a week. Like the change hasn't been that great. I'd say it, like, as the armchair physio that I am, surely it's got something to do with sitting in the car for that long.
Yeah, we mapped how far it went back though. So we worked out, because I first started feeling it, that's why I was talking about that training diary stuff before actually, because I did make a note, not in my, I don't have a training diary, I just use Strava, but I just got a personal diary and I noted it down there about 2.5 weeks. Remember when we did that, it was that workout where we did the 400s and the 200s? Remember that one? It was a really good one.
Yeah.
Around about that time. So about 2.5, and then like near that 5K kick down time trial. Like, I first noticed it then, but it wasn't impacting me where the next day after workouts I'd be struggling so much. So then we kind of looked at what maybe changed then. And I think when I say intensity, that's a good way to put it. I feel like, remember when I was nervous about trying to do 200s in 28? Like, I was like, I don't know if I can do that. That's going to feel like an all-out sprint for me. Remember that when I was talking? Yeah. I think for me, like, if you said go do 2200s in 32, I'd be no worries. But if you say to me go do 6200s in 28, I feel like it's that. Actually, you explained it well the other week, Moose, when you were saying about how you were kicking down those 1Kers into the fast 200 and you feel like your legs are almost doing something that you're, you know, like it feels like you're almost overstretching.
Yeah.
So when I say intensity, I mean like speed intensity. Whereas if I'm doing three sessions a week and one's a threshold and one's a fartlek, and, you know, you might be dipping into just under 3 minute kind of K pace compared to, I don't know. And that, I reckon that could be a thing with age as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. My legs are just too old to go that fast these days. Maybe, I don't know.
You've just got this gentle little injury that, I mean, it's not that gentle, but you can still do those good workouts.
Oh, 100%. And I think it's a good thing. Like, you nip it, you get skin to the physio straight away, you get these exercises, you be disciplined, you do them. Like, and even like when I was doing some stuff today, it's like, oh, you're really like a bit shaky on that right side. We really got to strengthen that up, and you just find your weaknesses and you go from there. So, yeah. And like, as I said, I still think I'm going to juggle this week, and then, we'll just add a bit more like speed. Well, not speed, but like some threshold work in and just see how it bounces back from that, and then maybe some CV or VO2 stuff and see if it bounces back from there, and then, maybe get back in some spikes and do some faster stuff.
Avoid the explosive stuff and the changing pace stuff.
Yeah, and you said hills too. You've had history with it. Hills, yeah, I don't have to worry about that, but...
I think you just avoid hills when that stuff's sort of playing up. Could probably do like recruit more through the hamstrings as you go uphill, right?
Yeah, and the trap is because like I'm at a reasonable fitness level that I can still bang the sessions out, so then you think, oh, I don't want to lose this fitness, but you're not going to lose fitness still jogging 10 or 12 or an hour every day.
You won't lose fitness. You'll lose a bit of like sharpness and maybe some top end stuff, but a
bit of conditioning.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. Let's give you an update next week. Should we thank some Patreon supporters, Bradley? You want to kick us off?
Yeah. Okay. My shout out this week's over to Norway, Bard Edvardsen. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce his first name. It's B A with a little circle above it, R D. But he lives in Oslo, Norway. He's an osteopath. Maybe has a history of cycling, drinks black coffee, 17:41 for 5K, 39:03 for 10, and 93 minutes are his estimated bests on Strava. Owns a pair of Meta Racers and Alpha Flies, going by his Strava photos, and he's possibly a dad who runs with the pram. So thank you for your support, Mr. Edvardson.
I'll go next because I can just hear someone scrambling in the background and their pictures disappeared from this document that I was meant to be reading from. Correct me?
Oh, yeah, scrambling. What does that mean?
Just going real fast. Joe Spatieri, I'm going to thank you from Geebung in Queensland. Ran 37.06 for 10K at the Bridge to Brisbane last year. Been running since at least 2008. Found some results all the way through back to 2008. Has maybe two kids. 17.22 for 5K recently on the track. Ran the Gold Coast 30K in 2 hours and 3 minutes. So just over 4 minute K pace for that one up there, up in the north. And is a real legit AFLW boundary umpire. Like when you Google his name, it comes up on the AFLW like website. They must have only, you know, certain amount of people that can umpire that level of footy, and he's one of them on the boundary, throwing it in. Good work, Joe. Thanks for your Patreon support.
One of your heroes.
That's where I could have ended up. Yeah, that's why I wanted to thank him myself, Joe. From one old boundary umpire to one of the best in the country, Joe. I look up to you, brother.
Joe's a run strong king, of course.
Is he?
Gets it done, yep. Geebung. Every time I see that, I'm like, oh, he's in Geelong.
Yeah, I actually saw that too, and I was like, why is a moose thanking this guy from Geelong? And I'm like, nah, Geebung. Mm-hmm. Yep, good on you, Joe.
Yeah, I got Eddie Foster. He's from Norwich in England. He plays a bit of Xbox Live. Okay. 16.55, 5K, 35.02, 10K, 119 half marathon. Going by Strava, he is a fan of some good music. Frank Ocean, Kanye, Mac Miller, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Chitty Bang. I don't know what Chitty Bang is.
Yeah, you do. They had that one single. They remixed the MGMT song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, Electric Feel? Is it Electric Feel?
It wasn't Electric Feel. Maybe Kids or something. That was a big hit back in the day.
Yeah, Kids. The remix of Kids, I do remember that. So Eddie, what's the best? I'm saying his best time out of that could be, oh, I don't know, actually. That's tough. Maybe he's 10K.
Oh, yeah, I reckon, well, it's either he's 5 or he's 10. I reckon, I'll go with 5K.
Borderline.
Double it at a minute, roughly. That's, yeah.
Borderline.
Thanks, Eddie. Thanks to all the Patreon supporters, hey, for supporting the show. If you get value out of what you listen to every week, you're not on Patreon, you can chip us a few dollars over there. We'll hook you up some bonus content, early releases, see how we're going. Bit of running news this week, boys. All I've got is a couple of 5Ks here. Moose, do you want to take us through the South Australian 5K? It wasn't the state champs, this one, but it was just like a time trial kind of race put on, I suppose, a bit of an organised one.
Yeah, so I had a bit of time. I can't remember what I was doing, but I somehow got the stream up from the AH Elite fellas, and I watched the boys run. So there was two packs. The first pack had Adrian Potter, Isaac Hain, Matt Clark, and Max Stevens, led by Lachlan Scott, who was pacing.
Patron supporter.
Yep. So they were quite good there. Lockie Scott was in front, and then at some point, Matt Clark seemed to get fed up with the pacing and went around to the front, tried to, I don't know, move the pace along. But then Lockie jumped up again and sort of head back to the front, pulled out. Max Stevens went to the front, tried to put a move on. Then we sort of found Max out the back door. Isaac Hain came around the front, tried to do a bit of work on the front against the other two. Kind of thought that he might have had it for a minute, Isaac.
Because he didn't do anything until then. No, it was 700 to go.
Oh, was it 700 to go?
It was that late. I was like, here's a move. This is a move for the finish.
And he's the youngest of the three, I think. Oh, yeah, it's got to be the youngest of the three. And it's sort of breaking out at the moment. Matt Clark does have good finishing speed, but as you mentioned on your comments, Adrian Potter knows how to W. So he ran 60 seconds to close and just took off 350 metres to go. All of a sudden, it was just daylight. And Isaac was, he ran 13.57. I think that was his first time under 14 minutes. But that was just inevitable coming from Adrian, and Isaac ran 14 flat, Matt Clark 14.03. Good racing, good to watch, pretty exciting. Gee, those bloody Adelaide boys get carried away, don't they? Didn't they get up and about? And that once you got them coming down the finish line, all of a sudden, like, they just lost their marbles.
But wasn't it great to see, like, because I don't think they're really old, but they're generally, like, their superstar is Adrian Potter. Like, they look up to him so much, and for him to win that race, and that you could see the excitement building from the boys, like, their commentary was just getting louder and louder, and then they just lost their cool with 300 to go. And then he broke 14. And I was like, this is great that these young kids are so interested in running that they're going to pull out their phones, do an Instagram Live, and love the sport that much.
Yeah, it was good to see, and it was a good race to watch. Oh. Good things going on in South Australia.
And from what I can gather, they kind of put this, we'll talk about the female results in a second, but they kind of put an event on to suit all the different training groups and stuff. Like, it wasn't just one training group and collaborated, and didn't matter who you ran for, but if you're in South Australia, you could have a fast 5K. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get it soon back here.
No reason why not, eh? That's what you're kind of doing with this one down Geelong. It's more like, hey, let's just put the right people in the right spot.
Pretty much. By that stage, events, you'll be able to have 500 people and together, and then 50 people outside joining. So that, like, whether it's official event or not, it won't be an official event, I'm telling you right now, but we'll be able to get some races going off. People can test what they've been doing the last few months.
Women's race Moose, you watch that?
No, I think something happened. I had to go somewhere or something, so I missed the ladies' race. But then I saw later that night, I'm like, oh, fuck. It looked like a really good one as well.
Yeah, I watched it. So, like, I actually thought the women's was on before the men's, and I'd missed the live stream from the AH Elite boys, but it turns out it was after the men's race. And it was windy as well over there as well. So when you're hearing these times, like, I think they said it was 28K wins. Just on the men's race, though, we will talk about Nitta. He ran 15.01 from Shoegeeks. People will be interested in that.
Oh, yeah. Good run from him.
Good run from Nitta.
Good for an old fella.
Good for an old fella. And Dad, women's race, though, Rose Davies. She got the win 15.30. And I'd say she made a move. I don't have this written down, but I reckon maybe just with maybe 4 laps to go or 5 laps to go, like 2K to go. She ran 15.30. Izzybat Doyle was the one who tried to go with her originally, so she kind of broke this group up a bit, tried to go with her and didn't drop off too much, and she was always in the background in the kind of viewing and the stream there, and like, you weren't sure if she was going to close it down over the last couple of laps, but Rose was just dropping like 72s, which is pretty solid, solo in windy conditions. So Izzybat Doyle ran 15.41, Caitlin Adams was third in 15.50, Jess Denson fourth in 15.52, and Tara Palm fifth in 16.10. So plenty of depth over there in Adelaide. And good to see Rose Davies travelling from Newcastle. The Bendigo Bat runner up front lives up in Newcastle though, but good to see her getting the win over there in South Australia.
Yep, another good race.
Any comments, Croaks?
No, I watched the men's one. Well, actually, I didn't watch it live. I watched the AH Elite video afterwards. But, I think the commentary, what I loved about the commentary was just how passionate the boys were about getting behind Potter. It meant a lot to them. So there's obviously good camaraderie in that group.
Who's the bloke on the stream in this shirt and tie? Is he the main AH Elite big dog?
Yeah, I think so.
What's his name?
Oh,
mate, you're supposed to be part of this group. You don't even know who the fucking leader is.
He was good on the commentary.
I will. I'll get back. It's Jack. Oh. I think it's Jack. I've never met him.
Jack Hunter. Don't they pay like your rego and stuff though? You are a dog, mate.
No, that's only Bendigo.
You are. This is why he's hitting everyone up for money, Moose.
Yes. I don't like this from you, Craig.
Hey, I told you who it was.
Need a bit of time. You should have known it off the top.
I've never met him, so I'm not even sure if that's him, but. Jack's the guy that always messages me from AH Elite.
Yeah, it was good to see some video of him, actually. Usually he's behind this Instagram account.
Real sharp, too. You don't see many guys commentating athletics with a tie on.
Oh, You'd know, Mr. Fashion.
Very true. Question, Brad. Oh.
No, it's just before we move on from 5Ks, there was a result in Sydney, which we should have mentioned last week on the show, but we forgot to. So, Sydney Athletics Academy had been putting on these sort of monthly track races up there in Narrabeen. And in the 5K weekend before last, Zach Faccioni ran a solo 13:40. Second place was 15:51. So he was a guy that grew up in Sydney, was coached by Ken Green, good junior, and then the last year or two he's been over at college, over at Wake Forest University. So he's obviously back in town and a man on the rise. So he's only 21, so he's one to watch out for.
What's his PB, Brad, or was that it?
It was before that race, which I don't think that race will actually count because there's probably not like enough officials there and things like that. But he's run 13:48. He ran over in the US March 2019. He ran 7:55 indoors for 3K, 3:42 1500. So he's had like, well, he's a really good junior, and sounds like he's hit his straps and on the improve.
While we're on the running news, it looks like Zatopek will be held January 26th in Melbourne. I'm not sure whether you guys saw that.
I did.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so that's an interesting time frame because depending on these college kids that might come home for summer or whatever, some of them might still be here, and you might get a few more entered in this than normal. I think it'll be borderline. Like someone like Zach might just hold off going back to school to run Zatopek over here, or there might, maybe not him as such, but like there could be, it could be a pretty solid field if that sort of situation occurs.
What do you reckon they'll make the cutoff, Moose?
Oh, I don't know, 30:14.
Be quicker than that.
Yeah, well, you're not getting in under if you've, the way things are going and looking at that race in Sydney, you'd think like, but the problem would be, say you make it 29:30, you've had to run it in 12 months. There's not going to be that many sort of events you could have run it at.
No, they'll include the last year's Zatopek. They got to.
Yeah, I think they normally do, don't they?
But that's what I mean. Now, if it's gone from a December to a January, 12 months wouldn't include last year's Zatopek.
Yeah, I don't know. Really?
Really, when has there been? There's been that one in Sydney. That's the only 10K since then.
Yeah.
I wonder if marathons like Lake Biwa will do that as well. Because you know how normally your time for those races, it's basically a two-year window? Whereas when you factor no one's been able to really run the last year, I wonder whether they'll extend the window that you've had to be able to run that time across other events, not just Zatopek.
Yeah, surely. Hey, I haven't got this written down, but did you see Pat Tiernan's running a 10K over in the States in December as well on the track?
On the track in December?
Yeah. Yep.
That's interesting.
Can't tell you what it is off the top of my head. I did see it floating around on Twitter. They were using like a graphic where they had everyone's names on it, and his name was there. I'll get some more details for you about that next week.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. When I saw that, though, I'm like, ooh. He just missed Australian record last time he did it. He looks like he's in good shape off that 15K. He could take that off Shuey.
Yeah. Well, he could. He was very close to it doing it that evening.
In an American, they set him up fast over there as well.
Uh-huh. There's a bit of space left in that Australian record.
Oh, yeah. When I say he could take it off Shuey, I'm talking about if Shuey isn't it. Like, Shuey could take that off himself.
Yeah. But what I mean is that even that evening, Stewie just dropped a crazy last lap to take it, and Pat did a lot of the work that evening as well. So you've got to sort of go, well, both of them probably could have run faster on any given night.
Yeah.
Any other night, yeah.
True. And, Pat did a lot of work too after the pacemakers dropped out.
Yeah, most of the work.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find that, Brad, while you're reading the listener question. Take it away.
All right. This week's listener question comes in from Leo. He writes, "Hi, fellas. Question for the podcast regarding structural/skeletal fitness. Since most runners try to spend a maximum of their mileage on forgiving surfaces like grass or trails, is there, in your opinion, any benefit from targeted sessions or runs of any kind on footpath or road when training for a road race, whatever distance that may be, 10K, half or marathon, in order to do some micro bone damage to toughen up your bones? I've been stumbling about this terminology every now and then when people were looking for excuses why their marathon went wrong, but is there actual some scientific evidence or known training benefit to do hard surface targeted sessions? I can't really imagine all these Kenyans looking for a stretch of hard footpath in I-10 just to beat themselves up, or do they?
Oh, it's funny. I'll start with a story. So, what year would it have been? It would have been about 2010 or 11, I reckon. Jason Woolhouse. Remember Jason Woolhouse?
Yep, Kiwi guy.
Kiwi guy, ran at Oklahoma State, and then he was very good over there. He may have been a national champion in something, I think. Came back, ran for Geelong, lived in Melbourne. He went and ran a marathon in, could might have been like Christchurch or Auckland or something, and blew up legs let him down, and came back and he thought, oh, there was not enough running on the roads. So then he came out and he absolutely hammered himself on the roads for like the next month in Melbourne, just to toughen his legs up for the next one. And he got an injury, and I don't think he really ever ran again. But there is that thinking, isn't there, where you need to condition for the firmness of the road versus doing everything on footpaths and softer ground.
Yeah, like for me personally, like in the lead up to a marathon, I jump on the road more often, not so to bang up the legs, but more to get more, you know, because for the marathon, I want to try and hit like specific sort of splits on the road, and so it's more specific to what you're training for. So it's more from trying to hit certain splits as opposed to banging up my legs. I think you can get a lot of benefit by running on the softer surfaces, and you can condition your legs by running over hills. Like you look at some of our best marathoners, Deke and Mona, they probably did majority of their running on a soft surface, but they conditioned their legs by running up and down hills at decent pace. So they probably made up for the lack of road training by just hills.
Yeah, that's true. It's very, it's a common thing for Australians to go back and say, well, Mona and Deke did it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But okay, we look at even in the Kenyans. So the Kenyans aren't on roads a hell of a lot, but they run over hilly terrain as well.
Yeah, and there are good examples of where it doesn't work, or where like it's not required, of people not requiring it or including it and still having success. I tend to think that it is good to expose yourself to that hard surface, just for the fact that it's going to be specific to what you're going to be racing on. And there's certain things that feel different, like again underfoot, if you're not slipping that sort of microsecond of slip and energy loss on a dirt track, it will feel different on a road, and you will probably use slightly different muscles and stabilizers and everything. Your mechanics will be slightly different than running on a dirt track. And like you said, just the pace, being more specific with the pace, and even just the rhythm of being on a road. I don't mind it, that's for sure. I think it's good to alternate maybe weekly long runs on the road with the dirt in your last like 12 weeks of training maybe.
Brady? Same thing. I was listening to all that. I was trying to find that field for that 10K, but you guys summed it up pretty well. I agree. I think it's a good mixture. But when you say the last 12 weeks, Moose, mixing up your long runs between hard and soft, your last 12 weeks would nearly be all marathon-specific kind of workouts, and you do it on the hard, but then you might be, say you do a hard marathon-specific session on the Sunday, then you do soft on Monday, Tuesday, and then maybe back on the hard Wednesday for a bit of a quicker workout.
Yeah. Or even for me, like marathon specific on Sunday on the road and then on dirt all week.
Yeah.
Like every single other run, dirt.
Yeah.
And it's one thing that sort of people get like almost confused about, maybe like when they start running, they go and head for concrete paths and concrete roads when really like the unwritten rule is run on dirt as much as possible.
And it goes back to like that, what's the purpose? So if the purpose is to get your body ready for the marathon, will you be doing it at the pace and on the same surface as the marathon? And you often hear people talking about if they're doing like Boston or whatever to have like rolling hills and stuff for their marathon specific long run. But then what's your purpose for that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday might be to recover. So you're going to be on the grass or the soft surfaces. Like it's not your purpose to prepare yourself for the marathon on the Monday. to recover from the Sunday.
But Brad's right. There's lots of examples of it not being required. So it is still a theory. And I remember there was something like years and years ago on Let's Run when there was some research that came out that was like, we found no difference in injury rates between those that run on dirt and those that run on concrete or hard surfaces. And it was like, oh, this is like research telling a totally different story than every other runner who's ever run before would tell you. It's like sometimes research doesn't tell you the full story.
Like hills can toughen up the legs. Like if you haven't done a hilly run for a long time and then you go out and do just an easy hilly long run, your legs still feel banged up the next day. But then you look at the Japanese culture and they do just about everything on the roads, don't they?
They prefer the
road.
Yeah, and they've got a strong history in halves and marathons.
They kind of do, don't they? Mm. They're still waiting. The last few years have been better in the marathon for them, but there was a period there where it was like, why can't they convert? And I know, like, if you read that book, what was it like?
Way of the Runner.
The Way of the Runner. It talks about how they're transitioning to the more modern way of thinking about running on dirt.
Yeah. What about, good point. But what about body weight? You reckon that's got an impact on it? Because you talk about these, like the Kenyans and the Africans. I mean, the Kenyans and the Japanese, like small frames, low body weight. Whereas here we might be a bit bigger, especially if you're just getting into running. And then if you're doing everything on footpaths, certain injury risk involved there.
Yeah, but bigger frames can also absorb more load that. So it's probably got to do with your running mechanics as well.
A lot of factors here.
Just head to the dirt like as much as you can, and then if you've got those specific sessions, head to the concrete. That's how I'll do it.
Very good. Might go Moose on the Loose next, Purchase of the Week.
Yeah, well, I went into this little bookshop in Geelong the other day and found some running books. Just always head for this. Every second-hand bookshop's like the same. You walk in, ask the guy, weird, creepy guy or sort of old lady who smells like mothballs at the counter, where the sports section is, and you sort of walk around about eight different like labyrinth of bookshelves and get there, and it's like 95% cricket autobiographies, a few rugby autobiographies, a couple of AFL ones, and like one running book. That's how it normally goes in these bookshops. But found this one, Ron Clark. So I normally the Unforgiving Minutes, his famous book. But then this other book, so I forget what it's called. I think it's called A Measure of Success or something. Yeah. It's kind of written when he was older, looking back on everything. And I'm sort of three quarters of the way through now. It talks about his five most memorable races. And he doesn't hold back in hammering like the IOC for their decision to go to Mexico City. And then he talks about the training that he was doing and how he sort of came back from having like a big spell off running, where he sort of focused on his career. He played a bit of footy and then he was coming back, where he would just like went for a jog with a couple of blokes. Les Perry was one of them, around his town that he just moved into, and he was running behind them, and they were dropping him on the hills, and he was jogging, and they had to sort of jog to wait for him, and they were like 38, and he thought they were just old men, and he was really embarrassed by that, and that's when he started getting fitter. And it's just like, wow, this is a cool story. Like, you don't realize Ron Clark was just had so much time off before he came back to really dominate. And it's nice to read that. I liked it.
He's got another one as well called Fixing the Olympics, where he just, pretty much just slips off the Olympic committee. Just gives him a whole lot of suggestions of ways they could fix it.
He also brought up this sort of incident. I never knew about this. Croak's probably really... Yeah. Croak's didn't know more about this.
Brad was probably there.
The Swimming Australia incident where they marched... A couple of swimmers marched in the Olympics in Tokyo, marched in the opening ceremony when they had to compete the next day, and it was sort of the Swimming Australia or whoever it was, what the organisation was called at the time, prohibited it, but they went anyway, and then they were banned for like fucking 8 years and shit for
for not for showing up to the opening ceremony. I know Dawn Fraser.
Yeah, wasn't that her? Yeah.
Yeah, she had
her flag. Didn't she steal a flag?
This was the difference, right? If like Ron, this is the story that this is how Ron Clark tells it. He's like, that actually had nothing to do with the ban. The ban was because she marched in the opening ceremony, and then there was all these sort of, it was just he was super critical of how it played out, and that like imagine being banned for 12 years for basically disobeying an order and showing up to the opening ceremony to march. It was her third Olympics, right? So she'd never been to an opening ceremony. And she was just like the absolute star of the world. And yeah, Swimming Australia, like, I'm like, these organisations, they just cripple the athletes.
Any purchases? What was that?
Was the book.
Oh, yeah, that was the book. I wasn't sure I'd be like, Boots on the Loose and Ron Clark for a second there.
I'll lift off Ron Clark.
Would have cost you $5 or something, wouldn't it, that book? That's not much of a purchase for you.
Don't know. I got a good purchase this coming week, but it arrived today and I haven't opened it yet. So we'll save it for next week.
Those secondhand bookstores are the best when they don't know the quality of books. Like, do they write in grey lead on the front cover, like inside the front cover, how much they are?
No one ever knows how much it costs when you get up to the actual the front. You could cop any price.
You find a great one and just over the front cover, it says like $3 and you're like, you beauty, this person doesn't know how valuable this book is. Snake chat, fellas, we've got a few things we've got to clear up from last week. We got a few emails actually in, thanks to all the people that wrote in giving their snake tips. A few people actually realized just how dangerous Australia is as well with our deadly snakes down here. I think the overseas listeners were just like, geez, this is a bit of a risky sport these guys are doing over here. Your mate though, Moose, Brett Coleman, probably the most comprehensive email that come in. And I think you changed some facts on him. Didn't you say he runs with one of those things? And in the email, he's like, I don't run with that at all, Julian.
Oh, mate, I've seen him fucking run with that thing. I always think he's the biggest nerd too. He's just trying to be cool, but he definitely runs with one.
This is the start of his email. Gee, you fellas made a mess of the snake bite management, but made for amusing listening.
Steve Irwin.
I'm not going to read the whole thing out, Brett, but Brad, some takeaways from that email. I forward it to you. My big one, can I just go first? My big one is that he kind of says, the only answer I have for what to do if you're bitten a long way from help solo with no phone is to not put yourself in that position. If you got significantly envenomated, you'd likely be in a lot of trouble. That said, I've heard roughly of only 3 in 10 adult snake bites that are led to that, compared to 7 in 10 for the juvenile snake bites. The young ones have less control over their venom process, so you might still be okay. What else you get out of it? Someone else wrote is like something. There was another one on Patreon.
The main thing I took from it was that when a snake bites you, the venom doesn't go into your bloodstream, so it goes into your lymphatic system, and so that's basically, it starts off, I guess, in your muscle. And so the only way the venom can then get into your bloodstream is for you to actually contract that muscle or move.
Mm.
So while ever you're still and you put compression around the site, basically the venom cannot move. So that's probably the takeaway from me, is that if you get bitten, don't move. Because basically contracting your muscles is going to move it from your lymphatic system into the bloodstream. And once it gets into the bloodstream, that's when you're screwed.
And this one we got on Patreon as well said, if you stay as still as possible, you can last 7 hours and still survive.
Yeah.
So your example about being stuck in Mulligans, you're being bitten, you can run home in 20 minutes or you can wait and hopefully someone finds you. But still, 7 hours.
Yeah, so stay still, apply a bandage over the bite to an area about 10 centimeters above and below the bite. And then if you've got a second roller, do a firm bandage from your fingers or toes all the way up to your armpit or groin. So that's the best advice.
We won't be liable though if you get bitten by a snake and follow that. Anything else?
Apparently Nitta got bitten by a snake once.
Did he?
He was out in the bush and he like, no phone, no nothing. So he ended up getting back
to his car. He got bitten by a brown snake, I reckon.
Jeez.
And then it just didn't envenomate?
Yeah, that was the word. I stumbled on it though, didn't I?
Envenomate him. So it was like a dry bite or a whatever. Mm. So he was pretty bloody lucky.
Must have been a juvenile one.
No, apparently they're actually more they have less control on their venom. So when they bite, they're releasing it like all the time. Whereas when they're an adult snake, they've got better control over how much venom they put out. So, yeah.
Juvie snakes are a bit fast and loose, I reckon, just throwing their venom around everywhere but can't really connect. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
No, he says, didn't he say here, that said, I've heard roughly only 3 in 10 adult snake bites lead to envenomation compared to 7 in 10 juvenile snake bites.
Yeah, because they're fast and
loose.
That's
right. No, that's because they can't...
Envenomation's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, so juvenile snakes are...
Oh, yeah. All right, gotcha.
Watch out for the juvies.
Yeah. I'm wrong.
Okay, good. That's what I needed to hear.
we're down for another week. Another story.
This is very close.
About snakes?
The snake story.
You got any mates that are snakes? We got a few mates in our friendship group we call snakes. Just real snaky characters. Who's the biggest snake you know in the running community, Moose?
Oh, the biggest snake I know in the running community. Shit. Well, Matt Gunther's a big one for liking, like, every single female on Instagram's pics.
Do you steal people's girlfriends and stuff?
You love using that gag. You accused me of that the other week.
Yeah, I've got the biggest snake in the room. He's on this podcast.
I'm thinking of the same guy you are.
Lucky he got off out of the running world.
Dead man walking.
But no, today, I was just sitting on the computer. Dogs started going nuts just over by the couch. And we're like, what the fuck's that? Walk over there. And then I just see this, or Bree saw it first, like this head looked like a snake, and shouted and carried on. And then I went around and I'm like, oh, shit, there was like a blue-tongued lizard crawled in our house, like all the way in through the front door, like 20 meters down to the lounge room, and was just walking around next to the dog. So we get the dog out of the way. We pick it up, put it like in the next-door neighbor's yard or whatever. And then leave it. A few hours later, we're sitting down at the table. We see the cat over near the couch. I'm like, oh, he must be sniffing the lizard from before. About 5 minutes later, the dog starts carrying on again. Same noise. Look around. The lizard's crawled all the way back from next door, all the way back into our house again, to the same point up next to the couch. Mm. Crazy Jeez. Bastard.
Feel something slimy up against your cheek tonight. You know what it is.
Probably wants that cushion of yours, Moose.
Oh, I got the cushion. They didn't scare me. It's actually quite good. I like it.
Cushion Sleep reviews. Product.
Yeah. I'm just happy I didn't get scammed on that.
Good win. What are you doing, Moose, between now and next week?
Ballarat. So up to the Radis. Going to get warm, actually. Going to get warm tomorrow. Got a staff meeting. Get the group together. That's about it.
You'd be running staff meeting. You're the big boss in there. Pull everyone together.
Hardly ever there.
Big team building activity.
We just have some food, talk about shoes.
Imagine having Moose as your boss, Brad. Imagine like these school staff meetings. Imagine walking into one of those and Moose was the one running it.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly no nerd teacher, put it that way. We have fun in our meetings.
All right. That's all you're doing? Nothing on the weekend?
Am I supposed to be doing something?
No, I'm just trying to make some conversation here. Just relax a bit.
I do nothing. If I've got something on, then it's a surprise.
Bradley, what are you doing?
Well, I'm going to the track tomorrow. Jesus. And I'm doing park run on Saturday. So,
it's back this Saturday.
Well, no, it's been back for 2 weeks. This will be the third week. So there's about 9 guys in Canberra that I coach that are sort of similar ability, and a few of them have already been doing fortnightly track sessions. So I sent an email to all the guys I coach in Canberra basically saying that keen to like come out and join them at least once a month at the track, and suggested that maybe we go and do park run once a month and also one other easy run per month. So that's kicking off tomorrow. So I'm going to go to the track. jump in with those guys. And then I have a couple of guys that want to break 17 minutes for park run on the weekend. So I will attempt to run with them for that.
You should get some singlets and stuff made up, Brad. You could be like your own Surf Coast track club up there.
Maybe. Mulligan's.
17 minutes, similar times as well you're running.
Mulligan's Flat Track Club.
Yeah, could be something in that. Get them all together.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Jeez, Moose didn't take that at all. Thought he might have bitten there, but nothing.
I'm just imagining a Mulligan's Track Club.
Mm-mm. All right, fellas, we're done. I'm going to be doing Road to Valencia, actually, Friday morning. If the Patreon supporters, be ready for that to come out. Be out an hour earlier this week because we're starting an hour earlier.
Make sure you look up.
Yeah, Jesus, Stroker really messed that up. Shit.
Hey, I just press play and I talk. I could hear them okay, but obviously it didn't come across that great on the recording.
I could still hear everything they said. Still heard that they all,
But Moose, it was no different. If you go back to my recap last week, I said I was on the treadmill trying to listen to Road to Valencia and I had to turn it off because I could hear you.
Boys,
and not them that
we're meant to be talking up Road to Valencia, okay? We're not going to slag it off and saying you can't even hear anything.
I think quite good, actually. I'm hoping for this road trip comes about.
Yeah.
Did you see Matt Klaus's workout yesterday? That 40K at 320s?
The mixed grill, I called it.
He's a beast, that fella. Anyway, I'll be doing that, Patreons. Actually, I'm doing some Friends of the Show episodes coming up as well. Actually, I'll take requests. Hit us up on the Patreon inbox, Patrons. If you've got a request of Friends of the Show, people don't know what Friends of the Show are. That's when we catch up with people that we interviewed ages ago, just to check what they're going, what they're doing. Real old, real laid back kind of chat. So let me know what's happening there. All right, boys. See you next week.
See ya.
See ya. We'll be right back.